He knew he must be gaining fast. Loaded as she was, the Citroen could hardly better 80, even on this road. On an impulse, he slowed down to 70, turned on his fog lights, and doused the twin marshals. Sure enough, without the blinding curtain of his own lights, he could see the glow of another car a mile or two down the coast. He felt under the dashboard and from a concealed holster took out a long-barreled Colt Army Special 45 and laid it on the seat beside him. With this, if he was lucky with the surface of the road, he could hope to get their tires or their petrol tank at anything up to 100 yards. Then he switched on the big lights again and screamed off in pursuit. He felt calm and at ease. The problem of Vesper's life was a problem no longer. His face in the blue light from the dashboard was grim but serene. Ahead in the Citroen there were three men and the girl. Le Chiffre was driving, his big, fluid body hunched forward, his hands light and delicate on the wheel. Beside him sat the squat man who had carried the stick in the casino. In his left hand he grasped a thick lever which protruded beside him almost level with the floor. It might have been a lever to adjust the driving seat. In the back seat was the tall, thin gunman. He lay back, relaxed, gazing at the ceiling, apparently uninterested in the wild speed of the car. His right hand lay caressingly on Vesper's left thigh, which stretched out naked beside him. Apart from her legs, which were naked to the hips, Vesper was only a parcel. Her long black velvet skirt had been lifted over her arms and head and tied above her head with a piece of rope. Where her face was, a small gap had been torn in the velvet so that she could breathe. She was not bound in any other way, and she lay quiet, her body moving sluggishly with the swaying of the car. Le Chiffre was concentrating half on the road ahead, and half on the onrushing glare of Bond's headlights in the driving mirror. He seemed undisturbed when not more than a mile separated the hare from the hounds, and he even brought the car down from 80 to 60 miles an hour. Now, as he swept round a bend, he slowed down still further. A few hundred yards ahead, a Michelin post showed where a small parochial road crossed with a highway.
"Attention,"
he said sharply to the man beside him. The man's hand tightened on the lever. 100 yards from the crossroads, he slowed to 30. In the mirror, Bond's great headlights were lighting up the bend. Le Chiffre seemed to make up his mind.
"Allez."
The man beside him pulled the lever sharply upwards. The boot at the back of the car yawned open like a whale's mouth. There was a tinkling clatter on the road and then a rhythmic jangling as if the car was towing lengths of chain behind it.
"Coupé."
The man depressed the lever sharply, and the jangling stopped with a final clatter. Le Chiffre glanced again in the mirror. Bond's car was just entering the bend. Le Chiffre made a racing change and threw the Citroen left-handed down the narrow side road, at the same time dousing his lights. He stopped the car with a jerk and all three men got swiftly out and doubled back under cover of a low hedge to the crossroads, now fiercely illuminated by the lights of the Bentley. Each of them carried a revolver, and the thin man also had what looked like a large black egg in his right hand. The Bentley screamed down towards them like an express train.